Shop the Sherwin-Williams Labor Day Sale and get 35% off paints and stains August 22nd through September 4th. With prices starting at $31.84, it's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Whether you're looking to revamp your interior or exterior, we have you covered with bold hues, soothing neutrals, and everything in between. Visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store or shop the sale online. Delivery available on qualifying orders. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
Comments about how her deciding to go up to the room with Jake means that she consented to sex, as in, like, you knew what going to the room meant, so it's your fault. That would be like if every time you walked into a kitchen, that was you consenting to being hit in the head with a frying pan. And Justine points this out.
And not to mention, like, that's a really f***ed up thing to think, right? Like, is it basically that, like, what, it was her responsibility to bite his dick off? Like, do you understand how horrifying even that sounds? Like, could you imagine biting a human being's dick off, like, everything that entails? Like, that's a really f***ed up thing to say, too. I'm going to quickly talk about Jake Paul. Y'all know Jake Paul. He is the former, before YouTube, he was a Vine star. He was first a Vine star. Vine is what us millennials call TikTok. Yes, it's TikTok for millennials. So he was a Vine star. Then he was a YouTube star. And now he's gone from a YouTube star to a boxing star. As well as, I'm sure there's some other stuff in the works, all that kind of stuff. And recently, Jake Paul was making a bunch of news. Now, I'm going to say this first out. He was from Disney? Oh, shit. He went from Disney to Vine to... Oh, that's where that line in that terrible rap comes from. Da-na-na-na with the Disney show flow or whatever. Right. Disney Channel to start with. God damn. That's wild. Okay, so he went... Okay, let's keep track of all this. He went Disney, then he went Vine, then he went YouTube, then he went boxing. There's probably something big in there. Anyways, Jake Paul has suddenly become the darling child of a lot of the leftists. I've seen a lot of people on the left, a lot of whom I deeply respect, like Good Politics Guy, Christo A. Vallis, and Hassan, pointing out that, this is a pretty good thing. Now, I'm not going to lie. What he has done here, or at least what he's proposing, if true, or if this is something that catches fire, and is not simply a way of reading the room, which is basically the current of how everyone is like the take last year, 2021, year of the strikes. So much active movement towards unionization. We got the first unionized Starbucks. We had the Kellogg strikers, and that resulted in a success when it came so close to not even happening. They almost fired them all and had scabs. The John Deere strikes were a success. The cab union strikes were a success. Like, it's definitely becoming a moment between that, climate change, gross income inequality. People are kind of waking up to this shit. You know, it's not just like, it's no longer like fringe leftist ideas. This is kind of like mainstream now. This is like, workers' rights are important. People should stop having to work for minimum wage when they can't pay their own bills. It's not humane. It's just this endless cycle of grinding human beings into pulp. So if that's all this is, like that's all he's done here, then that sucks. If this is genuine, because I'll never know, I don't know Jake Paul, then yes, it is a good thing, and it is a good thing with someone like Jake Paul's platform to say something like this, okay? So I'm going to start by saying that. Viner turned Disney star. Oh, what? It was Vine first? Y'all lied to me. I was missing the piece. I was missing the piece of the puzzle, but it was still Vine, Disney, YouTube. I believe in that order. That or someone's wrong. I don't know. Either way. Jake Paul has put his money where his gloves are, sort of. He challenged UFC president Dana White for better working conditions for fighters. Jake Paul demands several things: an increase in minimum fighter pay to $50,000, guaranteed UFC fighters 50% of annual revenues, long-term health care for all fighters. He challenges White to accept the offer in 5 days and implement changes by the end of March. Paul would then immediately retire from boxing and fight MMA fighter George Masvidal in a one-fight deal. He has 5 professional boxing fights, winning 4 of them by KO. Again, the fact that he said this, similar to like the Joe Rogan thing, when everyone was like, hey, Joe Rogan has said that he thinks he's going to vote for Bernie Sanders. Good. That's a good thing. Joe Rogan is a fucking horrifying transphobe. If he's going to tell 11 million podcast listeners to vote for Bernie Sanders, that helps push Bernie Sanders into power. That is a good thing. That is like people freaking out about that. You can do both, by the way. We can walk, chew gum, and you know, pleasure ourselves all at the same time. You can also say something like, "Hey, by the way, Joe Rogan also is a massive transphobe, and it's a good thing that he's telling all of his listeners to get involved in Bernie Sanders, or say even vote for Bernie Sanders, because if they go to BernieSanders.com, they start reading up about him, they start watching his speeches, they will come across at some point or another Bernie Sanders talking about trans rights, and they will realize that maybe their Emperor King Joe Rogan is slightly wrong on a handful of issues, right? But anyways, all I'm saying is that this is good. Doing this was a good thing. But I think everyone at this point, and I already see people in the comments, you know, saying like critical support, awesome Jake Paul. I also, because I notice people when Jake Paul fights, I am not someone who's against people professionally fighting. I'm against someone being exploited and they happen to be a professional fighter at the same time, right? There's a huge amount of injuries in this industry. It doesn't matter what contact sport you're playing, but it's going to be much more prevalent in a contact sport where the primary objective is to fight your opponent, right? So you are going to have a huge amount of medical complications that come with a lifetime of doing that. And like any other system, people who are at the very bottom don't make a lot of money. They make very little per fight. And if you think like, well, they get like, you know, sometimes $2,000 to $3,000 per fight. That's not a lot of money if you're risking brain damage in the action of fighting. And that's not a lot of money when you train sometimes for 5 months for that fight, right? It's not like, oh shit, you got like $5,000, huge, or you got $10,000, amazing. Like, no, that's also going to have to account for months of training and exercise and all that kind of stuff. But I have nothing against UFC fighters, nothing against boxing fighters. I just wish they were less exploited and I wish more care was put into their health and safety, like anything else. But if people want to do that, people want to do that. Like you know, some people are built different. I'm not going to judge them for it. So all these things, increased minimum pay for the fight, 50K, good. Guaranteed UFC fighters, 50% of annual revenues, good. Provide long-term healthcare to all fighters. You previously said brain damage is a part of the gig, good, 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 good. 5 days to accept, probably, you know, not going to happen. That's what, I mean, we'll find out on the 6th. Oh man, is this all a secret signal? But this also reminded me of the fact that a lot of people, when Jake Paul fights, I noticed Twitter just blows up. A lot of people are like, oh, fucking, it's so dope that Jake Paul is like a really proficient fighter, that he took this seriously, nothing really matters. And I feel like all of us forgot about some really fucked up shit that happened not too long ago. So I'm going to turn the microphone over to Noah Sampson, who I thought has done an excellent job covering the story.
Whoa, buddy. That's a pretty bold claim. You sure you want to call your video that?
No, it's not a bold claim. I thought you did good. I'm just going to up your volume a little bit.
Well, concerned viewer who definitely exists, yes, I am. YouTube's terms of service defines defamation as making any untrue statement that is harmful to someone's reputation. I've done my research, and from what I've found, Jake Paul can't prove that he isn't a rapist any more than
Tang
I
Hill.
Think that he
Thank
is.
You.
If more evidence comes out that goes against this, I'll change the title of the video. But until then, also, if any Jake Paulers are watching this and already in the process of disliking and leaving, just listen, okay? For 2 seconds. I'm going to go through everything. It shouldn't take more than 30
minutes. No
script,
but I will.
As soon as it's over, you can log back into Roblox. Hello, everyone. I'm Noah. Today, we're going to be talking about Jake Paul. You know him. You probably don't like him. The 24-year-old Vine star turned Disney Channel actor turned former Disney Channel actor turned YouTube sensation is somewhere near the top of the list when it comes to successful creators online. And he rose to this level by being, well, a bit of a goofball. A prankster, if you will. Some of his best work includes
scamming children, throwing house parties at the height of the pandemic, promoting gambling websites to children, calling coronavirus a hoax, posting sexually suggestive content knowing full well his audience is primarily children, making his neighbors suffer through a living hell, electrically shocking people with a taser without their consent, destroying other people's property.
Like, this is a pretty big what's the word for it? Rap sheet. That's it. This is a pretty big rap sheet going on. Is this the same guy who did the Garfield comic video? No. The guy who did the Garfield comic video, that's Super Eye Patch Wolf. Also, great content producer, but you should go sub to Super Eye Patch Wolf, and you should go sub to Noah. Both of them are great. Here, let me get the link so everyone can have it. Copying that link. Gonna add it to the thing. Here you are.
Without their consent. Making homophobic comments. Making transphobic comments. Making racist...
Okay, we're... probably good, right? But that's not what this video is about. On April 9th of 2021, Justine Paradise, who is a TikTok influencer, posted a video on YouTube alleging that Jake Paul sexually assaulted her. Specifically, that he orally raped her on the evening of July 19th, 2019. And much of the internet has decided that she's lying without even listening to what she has to say. YouTube.
So everyone's asking, is Logan the good one? Logan is what is usually considered the better one. I wouldn't say good is not the term I'd use, and you'll understand why when you get through this video. Although, like, I know a lot of people are also going to be like, Lance, you know, their brothers are going to stand up for each other, all that kind of stuff. And like, yeah, okay, they're going to. That doesn't make what they're doing right, though. That doesn't make, like, trying to cover up a story the correct action, even if that's what you might do in that same situation, right? That's what I could say about that. But yeah, maybe the lesser of two evils. He's the one who had some, like, here's a positive during the Black Lives Matter protests. He had that whole speech that went viral. So, like, it genuinely does help if Zoomers who watch that kind of stuff see their hero and hear him being like, you know, white privilege is real. You should understand these hierarchies of power. You know, racial oppression of black people in society is a real thing. We just don't ever think about it. I never thought about it because I'm white. You know, like that is a good thing to say. At the same time, there's also, he's got his own list of fucked up shit as well, right? They're two assholes. They have been for a long time. Like, I didn't know, it got really, really bad, but they've just been two, like, fucking megastar, like, two of the famous people, the most famous people on the internet, you know? It's like, you know, PewDiePie, the Pauls, like, you can just start adding them into that basket of the most famous internet celebrities of all time.
And other news outlets, after briefly covering the story, have, for the most part, moved on. And to call what she's experiencing right now, 2 months later, harassment, doesn't really do it justice. These are just some of the comments from her YouTube. She actually disabled comments on her videos yesterday, and I don't blame her. There were thousands of these being posted every single day. Some online individuals with very large followings have casted doubts on her story in disgusting ways.
How does that happen? I wouldn't she have to open her mouth and, like, participate in some way for that to happen?
She describes other more...
I remember when that happened. I was fucking, like, you disgusting monster. How do you get away with this shit? Just time and time again. Keemstar, over and over. He's the fucking... It like, nothing can destroy that man's career. It doesn't matter. He can do rape apologia. He can mock people who clearly have, like, you know, neurodivergence, or someone who actually has, like, actual mental distress to the point where that person, you know, may even commit suicide. And yet, at the same time, like, he's, like, impervious to any... Like, he's the most uncancelable individual there has to be, even more so than maybe Donald Trump, you know, at times. It's wild the kind of shit that Keemstar gets away online with.
Serious backlash in one of her YouTube videos.
I'm getting so many threats in my DMs, not just from random people, but people who are in Los Angeles telling me that they're here, so I need to watch my back.
Jake has denied the allegations. He did so in the form of a Twitter post and an appearance on his brother's podcast. I'm going to go through everything, her allegations and his response, but for now, to summarize, he did that shit. Obviously, this situation is nothing new. When powerful men are accused of sexual assault and there isn't enough physical evidence to bring about legal charges, everyone just kind of forgets. Sometimes there even is enough evidence and they do get convicted and it still doesn't matter. Like Floyd Mayweather. He has been charged and pled guilty on multiple accounts of battery domestic violence against women, one of which he brutally assaulted his wife in front of their children. You might have just seen him on TV yesterday fighting Jake Paul's brother, Logan, in an exhibition boxing match for $100 million. This video isn't entirely about Jake Paul. It's also about a woman who has spoken out against sexual abuse against a powerful online creator and how this has made her life a living hell.
Sweet.
I want to make the case that there has to be some form of accountability that exists between the gray area of a criminal sexual assault conviction and everyone collectively forgetting about it and letting these men go on to make millions of dollars for the rest of their lives. Okay, now that that's all laid out and squared away, let's get into the allegations. That was kind of rude. The title card interrupted me. Anyways, I'll just summarize Justine's allegations using her timeline of events. Justine first meets Jake at the Team 10 house. She ended up there when she went out with her friends who knew someone at the house. They end up exchanging numbers. He invites her back a few more times. They start hanging out. According to Justine, they don't really hang out, though. It's more like they're in the same general area. She says whenever they were together, he would text her instead of talking, even when they were in the same room.
He'd be like, hey, where are you? I'm like, I'm downstairs or whatever, like, I'll come up. And then he would still text me even though I'm in the same room.
She theorizes that this might be because he is poorly socialized.
I'm just assuming he always got what he wanted and never had to build like social skills and talking to people.
I see no reason to believe otherwise.
Which kids? I don't like cyberbullies, and you're a cyberbully.
She describes how girls would throw themselves at him.
Girls were just throwing themselves at him, and he would go to his room with a different girl, like multiple different girls every day.
At around midnight on July 19th, so the early morning hours of the 20th, Jake brings her to his room. Now, there's an important and relevant note here by Justine regarding consent.
People have brought me to their room before, and I'm their friend, and they're literally just trying to show me their room, or they just want to talk to me away from the crowd of people.
So eventually this turns into them kissing. Jake starts making attempts to advance the situation physically, which she denies.
Every time he would try to put my hand places or like try to put his hands places that I didn't want, I would just kind of move it away and be like, no.
And then, according to her, he says this.
He said, if nothing is going to happen, then what's the point?
After this happens, Jake stands up. She makes a point to say that this is where he could have left, seeing as he knew she wasn't interested in taking things further. Because he said, if it's not going anywhere, what's the point? Not going anywhere, meaning she does not want to have sex with me, and I know that. However, that is not what he did.
That is not what he did. When he got up, he undid his pants and grabbed my face and started, fucking my face.
So yeah, that's what she alleges. I implore you to go watch her video after this, because in it she says things both verbally and not that to me and a lot of people in the comments give her story a definite sense of credibility. But now let's look at the evidence she provides, because she provides a lot. Here's a photo of her out front of the house. That statue in the back is seen again here in this photo of Team 10. There's a video with Justine's voice in it that clearly shows her and her friend inside the mansion. By the way, if you remake the Sistine Chapel on your own ceiling with your
that
own face
so
on it,
cringe.
You belong in federal prison.
That is so cringe. Oh man. Like, it's double cringe there. It's funny that, like, A, he thought of that idea and was like, yeah, you know, bro, like, the Sistine Chapel right above me, except, like, I'm basically God or an angel or something, bro. Sounds great. And then he got someone out to paint it, and it came out pretty damn scuffed, too. It doesn't even look that good. Hey, what up, Freems? Good to see you.
She also has plenty of text screenshots, some of which show that she was invited there by Jake on the evening of the 19th. And lastly, she has a Snapchat saved, which shows she was in Calabasas, where the mansion is, on the morning after the alleged assault date, which again lines up with her story, because she mentioned...
And again, like, yes, this is all alleged, but Noah's trying to make a case here, and it's important as to why there's kind of like an... She had to go to these extents, right? You're talking about someone who, in her own right, is like she's a famous TikToker, but this is also an accusation and a very serious accusation against, like, again, like I said, one of the top 5 to 10 most famous people in the history of the internet for internet celebrities. Like, just a monstrously huge figure with a monstrously huge, like, fan base that does not want to live in a universe where Jake Paul would ever have done something like this, doesn't want to have to think about something like that even being a possibility. So obviously, she's like trying to do her best and be like, well, here's all the things I can document. Here's the text messages we send each other. Here's me being in this location. Here's me filming inside the house. Like, yeah.
She's staying the night there on the couch. Also, her eyes are puffy from crying. First thing in the video, she describes some of the reasons she didn't come forward immediately after it happened. For one, they made her sign a non-disclosure agreement at the gate of the house, which I guess they do for everyone. Totally normal.
Yeah, but yeah, here's the only thing I'm going to disagree with Noah on. I think all super celebrities, this is like maybe the 10th time we've heard of someone famous doing that. This is like less, I'm like, oh my God, I can't believe, maybe it's just like not the first time I've heard of it, right? It's usually when you hear about these famous people, it's like, well, they also make everyone sign NDAs before they enter. And I was like, why? Why would you need to do that? Are you going to engage in activity that you later can't have anyone ever talk about? So that's... That's a weird preface to a party, you know? That doesn't really put me in the party mood. Kind of makes me in the am I being recorded now mood, you know? That switches that up a bit.
So she wasn't sure if she could speak out legally. Also, she said she felt guilty at the thought of potentially ending someone's career.
I don't want to
end
someone's career. I feel guilty even though I was the one who was assaulted.
Which is so fucked up to hear, but also says something about how primed society is for the narrative that clout chasing, false accusations are a thing. They're extremely rare. but we'll get into that later in the video. Lastly, she goes through her reasoning why she made the video. Part of it was that she just wanted an apology.
And then my third intention for that video was to get an apology, but obviously that didn't work out.
And the other part was that hopefully it might serve as a warning to other girls so they can avoid experiencing the same thing with Jake.
I'm saying this for the girls that will...
According to online legal courses, can you use an NDA to hide a crime? It is not prohibited for people to report suspected corrupt conduct to an authority under NDAs. The use of an NDA by an agency to prevent a person from reporting a criminal offense may itself constitute a criminal offense. Section 133 of the Criminal Code, compounding an indictable offense. It is used to prevent the reporting of a criminal offense. No. You can't use it to cover up a crime. In general, signing an NDA does not prevent an individual from reporting a crime if it occurs. The courts have held that signing an NDA does not prevent someone from reporting a crime.
Be in my place. The girls who are just going to hang out with the...
Oops. Aw, Lance. What did you do? You lanced it.
And we're back. To hang out with their friend, but they end up meeting him.
So, yeah. That's the summary of her allegations and all her evidence. So how did Jake respond? Oh, you're not going to do the title card now? You cut me off last time, now you're going to... Super funny, dude. Great bit, man. Keep this up. Super hilarious. Jake responded 3 days later with a Twitter statement where he denied the allegations a few different times. And then he says some other stuff. He accuses her of using the attention from this situation as promotion for her OnlyFans and Amazon wishlist, which is a blatant lie. When she made the allegations, the only link to her OnlyFans was in a pinned tweet from 11 months prior.
I wasn't trying to drive traffic to my OnlyFans like people are saying, well, you had a tweet pinned about OnlyFans. And I'm like, yeah. From 11 months ago, this is not anything new that I'm promoting.
The Amazon wishlist was only mentioned in one tweet, and it was a response to someone asking for it on February 12th, so 2 months prior. To me, this seems like Jake and his friends just scrolled through her social media accounts looking for any ammunition for a personal attack, which is definitely something you do when you have evidence that proves you're innocent. The next part's pretty rich. As someone who was a mama's boy growing up, I respect women and mothers more than anything. I most certainly have never laid a finger on a girl without their consent. Now might be a good time to reflect on Jake's spotless history of respecting women. His ex-girlfriend, Alyssa Violet, in a recent piece by the New York Times on Jake Paul, alleged that he was constantly emotionally abusive. Here's a clip of Jake picking up Alyssa and throwing her in a pool, despite her clearly not wanting to be thrown into a pool.
Jake, I'm being serious! I'm being serious, don't! Jake! Shatter
Paul.
I don't think she consented to that, but in an interview with Shane Dawson, Alyssa alleges that Jake pushed her into a sticker bush unnecessarily hard, resulting in multiple bloody scratches and a scar. Another girl named Rayleigh Lolly, who's an actress and a model, alleges that he would call her jailbait when she was 17 years old, and that he groped her when she was 17 and he was 20. But he's a mama's boy, you know? Come on. He just got one of those mamas that teaches you it's okay to sexually assault children. Allegedly. He says a bunch of, I will fight this to the end, and he doesn't do any fighting. He just tells us how he's gonna fight it till the end. By the way, doing this strongman defense actually works. Here are some of the dipshits in the comments saying they're proud of him. He closes a statement by saying, I won't back down from it, and years from now, my character as an individual will show and shine through these dark moments. Show and shine mean the same thing. But hey, that's not how character works. It's not a credit card. If you do something bad now, you should be held accountable now. If you did something bad 2 years ago and you weren't held accountable, you should be held accountable now. And your character...
To be fair, the pool thing could be staged. Most of these people's lives are staged. Well, I mean, of all the accusations she just listed, that one's probably at the bottom of my list because people do that to each other all the time. Or like, you know, push each other into water, push each other into pools. I don't think that one's as bad as like pushing someone into like a prickle bush. That one's kind of intense. Why the fuck would you ever do that? It's going to get cut up and hurt. That one's... pretty weird. And then the first one that I'm actually yikes at is the 17 year old stuff. That is like when you're like, oh shit, yikes. But again, these are allegedly, because this is not the first hand account. These are testimony of friends within the inner circle.
It should be affected.
But it shows a pattern. Yeah, that's the purpose of it. I'm mentioning all this
about the allegations was his appearance on his brother's podcast. The podcast is called Impulsive, which Go figure. It's an 11-minute clip of Jake and three dudes all trying to convince him that he didn't do it. Jake only talks for 2 of the 11 minutes, which was actually kind of nice. Again, he just talks about how he's going to defend himself without actually defending himself.
I'm going to come out and fucking defend myself.
Here he goes again with this point about future him being able to prove his innocence now.
My character from years from now will show that this person and this individual is completely lying.
I think he's just dumb and inarticulate, but it's funny to imagine the judge in his trial needing a time machine. Some other awesome stuff we get from this podcast include this guy, don't know who he is, don't care, implies that making a false accusation is as bad as raping someone.
I think lying about a situation is as equally evil as doing that situation.
Here, they're about to start complaining about how inconvenient the timing of the allegation is, the week of the big fight.
Came out in fight week. By the way,
yeah, I feel like that's a timing type of thing.
See, that one is a huge, like, oh man, that's so fucked up. What, like, is this the motive? Like, have you uncovered the motive behind the lie? And again, the accusation, like, alleged lie in both directions. It's only allegedly a lie, just like it's only allegedly sexual assault in both ways.
Coincidence. Wow.
What a coincidence.
The biggest week of your life.
Of course.
And this is years ago, she claims, yeah?
This one's really funny. It's probably the stupidest thing I've ever heard on a podcast.
Just like, again, don't have any direct evidence for this happening, so I'm just going to continue to say allegedly. But of the two scenarios, this is what they would be. One, that this individual, who, again, was at Jake's house, has evidence of being at Jake's house, has evidence of communicating with Jake, woke up in a pin at that location the morning after the alleged incident, and that was the extent, really, of their relationship, who happens to have a TikTok career, is willing to risk everything, because this isn't necessarily the career maker that everyone thinks it is, making a sexual assault allegation against a very famous and prominent celebrity, doesn't just like launch people into the stratosphere. What up, Jeff _ Waldorf? Good to see you. Sorry, Waldorf. I mispronounced that. Everyone go to Jeff _ Waldorf. Come follow back. Thanks for the rating party of 38. Welcome in, Raiders. We're just watching a documentary on why Jake Paul is kind of shitty. Allegedly.
Cast, which admittedly is a high bar.
Oh, sorry. Or the second scenario being that this entire thing was part of a well-crafted scheme in which she was like, I know what I can do to propel myself into stardom. And in order to do so, I'm going to go over to Jake's house. I'm going to take enough videos and evidence and communication with him to start the lie that the two of us had, in fact, been together. Once I'm at his house, we're going to enter a room together. And then we're just going to leave the room and nothing will have happened. But then I will go and I will make a video and post it on YouTube right before his big fight, specifically because that's when most people will probably want to care about the story. It won't be drowned out by the overwhelming amount of media and noise that was happening at the time related to the fight itself. It'll definitely not get swamped by that. So this is definitely the best idea to do it. And then that'll propel me into superstardom, because then everyone's going to see my story and they're going to be like, oh wow, Jake's a monster, I'm truly the monster because I lied about it. That's what's going to happen. And no one will ever catch me.
Logan attempts to bring up the Amy Cooper bill as a potential strategy of pursuing legal action against Justine. For those who don't know, this law was proposed after Amy Cooper, the white lady in New York with her dog, did some low-calorie hate crimes.
There has to be some sort of repercussion for this.
Low-calorie hate crimes. Oh, that's good.
Yeah, the governor of New York did this with it was fake hate crime calls. Do you remember this? He made now there's consequences for falsifying a hate related crime.
So
wow, so that's the reach. Interesting. So you're gonna go with that one then? So because that exists because of a very serious reason, then that's actually a systemic problem that has happened for a while now, where people may try to use certain kinds of privileges they have to get black people in trouble, because that's an actual thing that could be something that applies here for this, again, what you were claiming to be a false rape accusation.
Speaking out against your rapist is now, according to these guys, a hate crime. At least that's what's being implied here. In this clip, Logan talks about how he feels strongly about this and believes Jake because he's had a similar situation happen to him.
I went online one day and there was a girl who made an 18-minute video with very specific details about a date that I took her on, and I got aggressive with her and abused her halfway through the date and stormed out.
Never met the girl in my life.
But here, on a different episode of the same shitty podcast, Logan talks about how a sexual encounter happened and he didn't remember it until he did.
No, I know you. Where do we meet? She goes, we slept together. I said, no, we didn't. That's not true because I remember everyone I sleep with. She goes, I sucked your dick 5 times in one night.
That part,
how
too,
do you
yes.
forget that?
I said, oof. I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. thank you.
If you're above the age of 15 and watch this podcast unironically, do something else. Not only are they aggressively unfunny, but they're bad people. I digress. So the next section is evidence, where I'm going to break down what we have so far and what it means. Also, there's something important I found regarding Jake's evidence that is probably the funniest thing ever, of all the things. So you'll want to stay tuned for that. I said, so you'll want to stay tuned. Justine has photos, videos, texts. Also, her video is a 20-minute methodical breakdown of the events. I don't understand how someone can watch that and think that she's just making it up or acting, but okay. The New York Times received statements from...
I mean, we watched it on stream. If it turned out that that was... that would be incredible. If nothing else, outside of me being like, well, that was really fucked up for you to do. But I would be like, you are an incredible, incredible actor. Like, that was very convincing. I was never sitting there for one moment thinking the entire thing was made up, but...
Three of Justine's friends corroborating the narrative. Story. And Jake Paulers, if you're still here, if you're not cozily tucked in your cribs, breast milk bottles in hand, before you try to make the comparison, this is very different from what we see here. This is four dudes talking about how women be lying while filming a podcast. A shitty podcast. Justine's friends are literally saying, on record in the New York Times, their names aren't published, but still, yes, this happened. We were there. We saw the two of them there. And she told us that it happened when it happened. Jake's statements, which we've gone over, haven't really said anything.
I will chase it to the very fucking end.
He's basically just threatened legal action and complained about how hard this is making life for him.
There are irreparable damages
to this
accusation.
I hope you are. I hope you
are. Irreparable damages to this accusation.
To which I say, grow up, you fucking baby. Also, stop raping people. Allegedly. But here's where it gets a little weird and kind of interesting. In part of a statement from Jake's lawyer,
seems like forever ago, I know, right,
Freems? Have already begun to debunk the claim against him. And that seemed like a strange thing to say. Why is Jake's lawyer, who gets paid millions of dollars to do the debunking, referring us over to the others? Who are these others? And then I heard this on the podcast.
You are blessed in that I don't know if they're fans or just people who are following the story, but I think, there's a number of people who have started to be able to poke holes.
Her story is awful,
and I'm seeing them.
The fans have debunked it. There's Twitter threads explaining everything.
So I did some digging, and I'm pretty sure I found what they're talking about. It's the most prominent Twitter thread that I could find. It also gets linked in a bunch of random YouTube comments defending Jake. So it is the smoking glove, the gun that didn't fit, if you will. The single piece of evidence that will prove Jake Paul's innocence in the court of law and public opinion. Meet Twitter user I think it's supposed to be here for the truth, but 1-2 doesn't really... Anyways, their account was created in April of 2021. Their first tweet was posted on April 10th, the day after Justine's allegation video was uploaded to YouTube. That's weird. They follow four people. Jake Paul, Tana Mojo.
Look, it's just a longtime fan who decided to finally get passionate about all of this, okay? That's all it is. Just a longtime fan who had a sleeper account, and then they're like, oh, now is my time to shine. That's all.
Who is Jake's ex-girlfriend... or ex-wife, who cares, a Harry Styles stan account, and Keemstar. Oh, Keemstar. Remember that guy from earlier? The guy who said it's your fault if you're orally raped because you can just close your mouth?
Wouldn't she have to open her mouth and, like, participate?
Yeah, well, if that video wasn't enough to convince you that he's one of the worst people ever, feel free to pause here and read. By the way, if you somehow end up seeing this Keemstar, go fuck yourself. The Twitter account has not on Jake's team in their bio, which is definitely something you put in your bio when you're not on Jake's team. And their header image is a message telling us to read the thread. I'm not going to read it. There's a lot of victim blaming and stupid at best, malicious at worst analysis. Literally reads like an eighth grader wrote it because an eighth grader probably did write it. So to avoid validating this, I'll just play it in a quick slideshow with some music from Warm 106.1 smooth jazz hits of me doing voiceover singing while editing this video at 2 a.m. Yeah, man. No, I'm not singing. I'm too tired. Why don't you just do this shit while you're filming? I wouldn't even be going into this any further, but keep in mind, this is the only thing that Jake and his lawyer have offered in terms of tangible evidence that might give him an alibi.
The fans have debunked it. There's Twitter threads.
Also, I mentioned it before, but this thread is linked in dozens of comments defending him on YouTube. So it is the smoking gun. The most prominent argument of the thread is that Jake couldn't have been home on the night of the 19th because he was out at the club with Tana, his girlfriend at the time. However, this video of them driving to the club is captioned, "Jake drove Tana to the club where Tana met up with her friends," which to me sounds like he dropped her off. Why don't we watch the video to find out?
Where are you driving me right now?
To the club.
Where are you going?
Home.
Huh. Going home. I wonder what you were going home to do. In Justine's screenshot, Jake writes, "Come later at 7:09 p.m. on the same night. At 12:11 a.m., now early morning on the 20th, she arrives at the house and asks him for the gate code. And remember, she claims the assault happened around 3 a.m. So, as far as I can tell, Jake absolutely could have been there when Justine is saying he was. And based on how Jake is defending himself...
I think rather than like debunking the entire thing, it kind of almost makes it sound like they... created a timeline. They've now added to the actual timeline of events so we can track the whole night out.
Citing a thread that destroys his only alibi.
Where are you going?
Home.
I believe her. Call me a simp. Call me a pick me. A Pokimane tier 3 bad boy. I don't care. The evidence is in her favor. Like I said, he did that shit. There's a few more things I want to talk about. I'm kind of grouping them together because I'm bad at writing, but they're all equally important. First of all, consent. There are multiple...
Okay, so, highlighted message. "I'd open my mouth if I felt threatened or was too drunk not to. Please help me understand why she allowed it without clamping down her teeth to stop it. I'd open my mouth if I felt threatened or I was drunk not... or if I was too drunk not to. Please help me understand why she allowed it to happen without clamping her teeth down to stop it." Like, there's an overwhelming multitude of reasons why someone might be too afraid to do what Keemstar is suggesting. Like, first off, Keemstar is doing a really old classic victim blaming thing where it's like, well, his is especially gross because, like, victim blaming is typically like, oh, well, were you asking for it? Were you not dressed provocatively? Were you not a little bit intoxicated? Should you have actually gone to his house? Did you not know that this may happen? Did you also know that if you went to a room with him, you could have potentially been sexually assaulted, right? Like, any of those are victim blaming, where it is like, it's 100% on the fault of the rapist. It's the person who committed the rape who's at fault. And on top of that, the idea that, like, Keemstar saying that, like, well, I mean, in order, you have to participate in this act. It's not like, oh, it's not like he vaginally, raped you, which is not what Keemstar said, but that's what he's implying. There's so many reasons why something like that would happen. And most likely, it's from fear. It's from fear of what exactly is happening. But if you have not consented to the act, you haven't consented to the act, like... that's all there is to it at the end of the day. Like, maybe she was ready. Yeah, she was there. She was in a compound. She had to be, like, let in through these gates, all that kind of shit. Like, there's a fucking huge amount of reasons why someone would be, deeply afraid of that.
Comments about how her deciding to go up to the room with Jake means that she consented to sex, as in, like, you knew what going to the room meant, so it's your fault. That would be like if every time you walked into a kitchen, that was you consenting to being hit in the head with a frying pan. And Justine points this out.
And not to mention, like, that's a really fucked up thing to think, right? Like, is it basically that, like, what, it was her responsibility to bite his dick off? Like, do you understand how horrifying even that sounds? Like, could you imagine biting a human being's dick off, like, everything that entails? Like, that's a really fucked up thing to say, too. Like, at the end of the day, the only person who is at fault here is Jake, allegedly, if he has done it. Otherwise, yeah, that's, like, it's a very simple matter.
Brought me to their room before, and I'm their friend, and they're literally just trying to show me their room.
Another thing, remember that Keemstar video we suffered through earlier?
Wouldn't she have to open her mouth?
Well, Justine made a response post on TikTok, and she said pretty much the only thing that needs to be said about it.
This logic is like saying, well, you can't be raped because you have to open your legs for that.
And she's right. This is not how consent works. Not only is Correct. Keemstar deliberately misrepresenting Correct. What she said in her video, but he's also making it crystal clear to the world that he has no idea what consent is. But if you look at the comments on Justine's post, these people don't seem to have an issue with what Keemstar is saying, which is insane. The idea that a viewpoint on consent as distorted from reality as that one can air uncontested in the comments. I know TikTok is a micro community, it's not really representative of the whole internet, and it skews young, but keep in mind, this is where her largest following is. It's how she rose to prominence on social media, and she hasn't posted on there in over a month. and I don't blame her. I can't imagine how hard it must be to make.
I like how people are in the chat right now, in the Twitch chat, are going through like hypotheticals. Like, well, you couldn't actually bite it off. It's too like sinewy. You'd have to like cut it off with a knife and other things like that. Yeah, I mean, it's just like of all the multitude of reasons, like this shouldn't even pass through someone's mind, though. Like, why? Well, in that case, I mean, honestly, why didn't you bite it off? I mean, you had an opportunity to bite off the dick. Why wouldn't you have done that? You would have disabled him immediately if you had just bitten off his penis. A, all of a sudden now you are the person who's committed assault, a violent assault or whatever. Who knows what that comes with. B, you're like already deathly afraid of this entire situation. You'd like to leave and get out of there. Like, it's the fault of the person who's committing the rape. You know, if you've said no, if you're like, I don't want to do this, that's the end of it. It's like you do not have consent to commit this act.
Content when as soon as you post it, you are screened at and told that you're lying about a traumatic experience that you were brave enough to share with the world. I delete tweets if they get under 5 likes. Do you see what I'm saying? Another thing, the way she's handling this whole situation is pretty remarkable. This is her talking about the people that are sending her death threats.
When people are asking these triggering questions on purpose and saying all this disgusting stuff, I just have to remember that they have issues too. Because if they didn't, they wouldn't be saying this stuff to me, you know?
Think about how much grace it must take to be able to say this to the people sending you death threats. When I watch this video, what I see is yet another piece of contextual information, you might say evidence, that I can use to decide which one of these two people has character and which one.
And also, like, I think it opens everything up to this very bizarre line of reasoning, which is that, like, well, if someone is in the act of being, you know, raped or something like that, it is within their necessity to do everything in their power to stop it. And if they do not succeed along that way, then they are partially to blame for the actions that are happening when they're not the one doing the raping. Like, they're the one being violated in that situation. Like, there doesn't have to be this bizarre, like, well, how... Did you put yourself in a situation that was dangerous? Like, these are the same things, the same kind of panics that have been used previously and historically to shame women when they are making very credible accusations of being raped. To be like, well, were you intoxicated? Well, that certainly shows that you were not in the right frame of mind. Perhaps you did consent. You don't know if you did or not. Oh, well, how were you dressed? Was it provocatively? Because you certainly can't expect someone to control themselves if you're not dressed modestly. You see, and where were you? Were you going down a dark alley? Where were you going into a house, right? Like, there's a big difference between telling someone and help, trying to help someone and be like, hey, by the way, that place is pretty sketch. I wouldn't go over to that bar, like, you know, especially alone after night. It has a lot of history, like doing that. Or like, hey, I wouldn't necessarily go to that parking lot after night. There's a long history. Just like, I just want to keep you safe, just so you know. Okay, that's very different than something happens after the fact and you're blaming the person whom it happened to, you know? Like, you wouldn't do that in other cases, too. You wouldn't tell someone, like, you just had your radio stolen out of your car. Was your car locked? And you're like, well, I one of the doors wasn't. It's like, oh, okay, well, then it's your own fault. Like, at the end of the day, you basically invited that, so your car is not, your radio's not gone. Like, you could have been like, well, that was stupid for the car door to be open or whatever. But at the end of the day, you didn't steal the radio out of it. Someone else did, right?
I believe. The next thing is false allegations. A YouTuber named...
I don't think she should have bitten it off. And if some guy whips his dick out, tell him to fuck off and go away. Again, though, if she was threatening to open her mouth, then you are all right. Well, Mandalaser, I don't know what to say, but like... The only person who's at fault in this situation is the person who's whipping their dick out and being like, I'm now going to shove this in you. And the other person's like, no. Like, that's what it comes down to. Like, she doesn't have the responsibility of continuously 24/7 fending off rapists. Like, that doesn't lie upon the woman in this case. It's not like women have to spend their entire lives being like, oh, well, it's a 24/7 struggle to make sure that I'm not raped actively because there are rapists coming at me 24/7. And should I ever fail, then it's my fault. That's when it becomes my fault in that exact moment, right? And even if she did, like, we don't know the dialogue that took place in that room. She could have been like, no. She could have been like, fuck off. She could have said any number of things. He could have said any number of things as well, as in, like, you know, this is happening, whether you like it or not. I don't know. We have no idea what took place in that room. That doesn't mean in any way, shape, or form, though, that the blame doesn't go on one individual.
T. Blizzy made a video on this topic, and in it, she brings up some great points about the negative consequences women face when they decide to come out and accuse men of sexual assault.
It's really insane how people think that this is a clout chase. Justine has way more to lose than she has to gain. This is exactly...
Yeah, I know. The Surfs.TV chat is... definitely talking way less about dick biting. There's a lot less debate. I'm glad because it's the one on screen, right? So there's a lot less debate going on there about dick biting. But in the classic Twitch TV chat, oh man, it's just it's a grand old dick biting debate going down, you know? Anyways, I'm going to start this one from here because this is a very important part of the discussion we're having.
The negative consequences women face when they decide to come out and accuse men of sexual assault.
It's really insane how people think that this is a clout chase. Justine has way more to lose than she has to gain. This is exactly what happens every single time a woman comes out about this stuff.
It's not like the repercussions for making these allegations are a secret. People are so eager to write this off as clout chasing or whatever. But name me one person who's made allegations of sexual assault and ended up...
Someone's going to say Monica Lewinsky. Kiss my jolt. So I was cursed and sexually assaulted, and then years later I ran into the same guy bragging about it. It's bullshit. I'm really fucking sorry. That sucks. But that's one of the problems. Like, that's why I think... we need to be having more conversations about what consent is, because, like, don't get me wrong, sex can be one of the most wonderful, amazing things on earth to do. And I want to promote sexual, healthy sexual activity, especially for people who might not have a lot of experience in that arena. And consent is a very important part of it. That's why we were playing that video the other day explaining that using the metaphor of boiling someone tea, if you ask someone if they would like to have a cup of tea and they say yes, then you go to boil the tea and then you prepare the tea. If they change their mind by the time the tea is ready and you head over there, I mean, that might be annoying of them to have done that, but at the same time, if they've changed their mind, they've changed their mind. They no longer want tea, right? You do not force them to drink the tea at any point. You cannot say, well, I made you the tea, now you have to drink it because I've made it. It's very, very simple way of explaining that.
Actually turning that into...
And don't go biting dicks, everyone.
Some successful career. People are so primed with the narrative that, well, you know, this guy's famous, so she totally could be lying to get some...
OnlyFacts says, UK study shows 9% of perpetrators were strangers to the victim, 23% of women were assaulted by partner or ex-partner, 24 were assaulted by family member, 44 were assaulted by another known person, 22 had not reported their assaults to the police at all.
Something out of it. Let's wait until the police are involved to make a comment on it. Okay, two things. First, false allegations are extremely rare. This data also doesn't even consider the amount of sexual assault instances that go
that
unreported.
Is good kiss.
But second, in these cases, it's always the victim who is given the burden of unequivocally proving that what is alleged actually happened. But why is this the case? If the majority of allegations we know are true, why isn't the burden placed on the accused? I understand the concept of innocent until proven guilty, but if nothing is official in the court system, does that mean we all just have to shut up? And also, the audacity of Jake Paul, this arrogant sack of shit, to make the claim that his life could be ruined by these allegations.
That will follow me for the rest of my life.
When Justine's life is actively being ruined every day, in the aftermath of the tidal wave that his actions have caused, in the case of alleged rapists like Ben Roethlisberger or Ansel Elgort, people like what they do. They go to the games, they watch the movies. So in a way, ignoring allegations is more explainable. Some have called this form of cognitive dissonance hero's tolerance. But I'm bringing this up to say, everybody already hates Jake Paul, so if he's able to get away with this, who isn't? The last point I want to bring up is about victim blaming. The most common form of it is people asking why she waited so long to speak up and using that to discredit her story. You are a bad person if you make this argument. Delegitimizing sexual assault victims.
Darn good stuff.
Thank
you.
Right away what you do when you're a
thank you for gifting a tier one sub to Dick Biter. It's about time Dick Biter got that free sub.
Bad person. There are countless reasons why victims might choose to or need to do this. Trauma, guilt, in Justine's case, both, and a non-disclosure agreement. Also related to victim blaming is what we talked about a little bit before, which is automatically dismissing this story because police have not filed charges yet. To which I say the criminal justice system is notoriously horrible at handling cases like this. But also, if someone kicks you in the shin super hard in a grocery store, are you allowed to not like them and like leave the store? Or do you need to wait for a cop to show up to give them a ticket? If you make that argument, you are also a bad person.
I got it already, 255. I'll read it after.
You know that gif from Breaking Bad where Jesse goes, he can't keep getting away with this. I'm gonna put that on the screen right now. This is how I feel about Jake Paul, which is to say, he can't keep getting away with this. They want you to forget. They want you to keep hating Jake Paul just enough to tolerate him, just enough to buy tickets to his next fight in hopes that you might see him get his ass beat. But we're better than this, you guys. He has repeatedly shown poor judgment and manipulative, abusive behavior. And in light of Justine's allegations, I am speaking into the universe, manifesting that someone with any sort of authority might look into this a little bit further, because he is so full of shit. I understand that in all likelihood, no legal action will be taken. Even though him and his lawyer are both shitheads, he's got enough money to make sure this problem stays buried forever. Jake has a pay-per-view fight against Tyron Woodley that's scheduled for August 28th. He's probably going to make millions of dollars from it. I'd prefer if that didn't happen. Wow, really, dude? You just want to cancel him with no evidence? Right before his big fight? Just clout chase? Suck my dick. He doesn't deserve a platform. I don't know how you could argue otherwise, especially considering all the other heinous things he's done on top of raping this girl. Allegedly. I don't even know if people are going to see this or watch it to the end, but regardless, I'm not going to monetize this video. That would be fucked up. If you're with me on this, I don't know how else to spread it. Send it to your relatives or something. Send it to your grandpa, who was born during Prohibition. He will definitely relate to this content.
He'll understand.
This was an experiment. I saw something. I wanted to talk about it. Still haven't decided on what this channel is going to be, but I'm doing my best to follow the breadcrumbs. Also, every story I reference is cited in the description. Okay, thanks for watching. I'll see you guys on the next one. Bye.
So, yeah, first off, yet another really good video by Noah Sampson. I would recommend everyone does the thumbs up. If you do exclamation point video in the chat, you'll see a link to it. And be like, you do good work. Comment. Don't really have anything funny to say. Pretty heavy topic. And yeah, so I would share this video with anybody who's just like, you know, 100% pro Jake Paul for just because they love Jake Paul or something. So you've just been listening to an episode of The Surf Times, and if you enjoy it and want to see The Surf Times, you can go to wearesurfs.com or watch the live shows at thesurfs.tv. And also everywhere social media is sold, basically thesurfs.tv, you'll find us there, twitter.com/thesurfstv, for example. It would also help us out tremendously if you could leave a good review of this podcast if you enjoyed it, either on, I don't know, iTunes or wherever you're podcasting. Apparently it does help, and yeah, we hope to see you soon.
To our gods, Xander Corvus and Peyton L. Juste, we beseech thee to smite down our enemies. To our monarch, Tom Spiker, we are but your humble court jesters here to amuse you. To our lords, Trevor R., we give thanks for this spit of land for us to eke out this meager existence. To our knights, Merid, Cheryl Alvarez, Ruby Kelly, Ellie Leslie, Alex P., Brandon, Words Greenwood, Nate, that one guy, Hagbird Celine, Matthew Scarborough, Stellar Vision, Ariane McCarthy, Daniel Sutton, Coulter Smith, Val 9000, Jenna Tall, Quiet 185, Anna Loves Riley, Omni, Riley and Anna, Poodlehawk, The Tim Caucus, Multi Mondi, Trevor Yanis, Lemmy 101, Anthropophojack, Cern 42, Catherine, Radical Maniac, Ramon Acosta, Nkosin, Violent Orchard, Sophie Baby, Political Puppy, Andreas Chiringuito, Zach Christensen, Josh Mickelson, Todd Buckingham, and Todd Lajeunesse. We raise our flag in a veil, and we salute you, our friends.
Looking to get the most out of your money, time, and even better, your points and miles? I'm Chris Hutchins. I'm a lifelong optimizer, and I've sold two companies, racked up millions of points, and traveled the world to over 60 countries almost always for free. And I host All the Hacks, an award-winning podcast trusted by more than a million listeners that turns big ideas into quick tactical moves you can start using today to upgrade your life, money, and travel. Recent episodes have covered how to book business class seats for economy prices, how to make an easy $3,000 a month from online deals, and tiny habits that you can use to buy back hours of your time each week. There's no fluff in the show. It's just proven playbooks to travel better, spend smarter, and design a life you're excited about. So search All the Hacks, that's All the Hacks, in your podcast app, hit follow, and start upgrading your life today.